is titled The Pit. First, how much does God love us? Romans 8:37-39. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. God gave His Son for our salvation for the world. Romans 5:7-8. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was willing to be tortured and crucified on the cross to be our final sacrifice for our sins, if we are willing to accept Him as our Lord and Savior. Yet many still don't know Him. How much do you love your children? Even if they've sinned against you and your wishes and don't listen to you or speak to you, or if they don't want to be part of your family, how bad would that hurt? What if you knew they would die an eternal death of pain and suffering? This is the anguish our Lord suffers daily because of His love for us. If someone would just tell them about Christ and what He did for them before it was too late. It is the pain our Lord suffers because of His love that we, as beloved sons and daughters of Christ, need to be doing everything possible to expand God's kingdom. Before they die an eternal death, this needs to be an act of an emergency. Remember, mankind is our family also, so we pray and act in God's love for the salvation of this world. In Mark 2:17, "Oh, hearing this, Jesus said to them, It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call on the righteous, but the sinners." I talked to Bob one Sunday evening. We discussed the urgency to show the love of Christ and to lead people to Him. And I told Bob that it feels like we are living in a drain, and we are using fishing poles to catch people for Christ, but we should be using nets, as so many people are going down the drain. Bob said he saw an image in his mind just then of Christians just laying around the hedge of the world drain with their fishing poles and bobbers just relaxing in the sun with no state of urgency to catch people before they are pulled down into eternal suffering. We as Christians have a duty to be fishers of men. That is the only reason we are left here on earth after we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's not to go buy a boat or a bike or have lots of money or sit back and enjoy life. Otherwise, we would have had all the enjoyment in heaven right after salvation. Jesus would have taken us right then and there. If He did that, who would preach the good news? It's our responsibility for each and every one of us Christians to try to save people from eternal death. I'm not saying you can't have nice things. In fact, God will bless you with many blessings if you would serve His will and obey Him and be fishers of men. In fact, all these things that we try to acquire or get in this social standings means nothing to the Lord. We do not belong to this Babylonian system, which is a distraction of our true purpose here on earth. For we are a new creation of child of God, a servant of the Lord, to preach the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand, and that Jesus has saved us from eternal death to whom believes in Him. Well, you can open your Bibles, chapter 24 in Matthew. going to go through a bit of scripture tonight, but that's just, I think it's important. Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the signs of the coming of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end still to come. Nations will rise against nations, a kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and these are the beginnings of the birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness and love of the most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the world, to the whole world, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand then, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one in the roof of his house go down and take anything out of his house, and let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect. If that were possible, see, I have told you ahead of time. If anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, do not go out. Or, here he is, in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from a fig tree. As soon as the twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know the summer is near. Ever so, when you see all the things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So I say, watch. And close to summer is near. Jesus is at the front door, for I won't let him find me sleeping. For we are at the birth pains, I truly believe. Nothing of my own desires matters, only his will. Stay firm on guard, I will. For Satan tries to get me to flee from this life to the mountains of my own desires. As he puts a big red bow on it. But I will stay firm and do God's will. Staying the course is all that matters. All I see and want in this life will end anyway. It all will be destroyed. The end is near. For Jesus will send his angels from the four winds and gather his elect as he comes with glory and power. Jesus talked about hell, not just to warn us what will happen if we don't accept him as our Lord and Savior, but also to give us hope that there is a way to escape eternal death. And he gives some details of hell, of the importance of urgency to accept Christ and to tell others, for tomorrow could be too late. Hebrews 9:27, it says, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after judgment. The Bible describes hell will be weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, utter darkness, flames, and burning. And all shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is no hope or peace in this place. Just torment. This is why Jesus said in Mark 9:43, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never will be quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that will never be quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter the kingdom of heaven with no eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. This is how serious Jesus tells us how bad hell really is. So if you have something in your life that is not in line with God's word, then I beg you to fall on your knees and ask for forgiveness and help to overcome these things that are causing a choke point in your blessings from God and your close relationship with Jesus and his anointing power. Jesus knows that overcoming things of this world can be difficult, especially when it becomes a habit. So if you're doing something that offends God, cut it out of your life. If it's drugs, alcohol, filthy language, hate, porn, adultery, sin, anything that does not line with the Word of God, is greater than all this. God is greater than all this, and he will forgive you as long as you get them out of your life and follow him. For it's better for you to suffer a little now as you stop your sinful habit than lose your soul forever in hell. If not, Matthew 25:41. And he will say to those in his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20:10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beasts and the false prophets had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Hell was designed for Satan and his demons. It was not intended for humans. For God created us to be with him, not to be in eternal torment. So many people take hell too lightly and joke and even mock God. I've heard things like, when I go to hell, I'll be sitting on the throne. Or I want to go to hell because there are no warriors or tough people in heaven. I mean, obviously they haven't read God's word to know the greatest warriors are the ones who serve the Lord. I got news for you that hell will be full of weak and selfish cowards. Only through God, there are great warriors, and they will be in heaven. They say things like, only the fun people will be in hell, so that's where I want to go. The Bible says clearly that it won't be fun, but torment. Everywhere you go, hell is made lightly in Halloween, TV shows, movies, entertainment, like pro wrestling and so-called other sports. These are what young people are idolizing and looking up to. A pro wrestler took 316 and perverted it and mocked Christ and made a lot of money off t-shirts that were sold to our children. Like I said, hell was designed for Satan and his demons. How fair do you think you will do in the place of fire and brimstone? Wake up. There is only one way out, and that's through Christ. Even Satan and his demons are afraid of hell. In Mark chapter 5, a legion, around 6,000 of evil spirits, fell on their knees in front of Jesus and shouted at the top of their voice in fear, "What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Swear to God you won't torture us," fearing and groveling, begging on their knees that he would not throw them into hell, because that torture is what they fear the most. So the demons begged Jesus and said, "Send us into the pigs. Allow us to go into them," fearing the alternative is hell. So you can see Satan and his demons know how bad hell really is. And that's the last place I want to go, and it should be for you. In hell, you will see hell. You will smell hell. You will hear hell. And the worst is that you will feel hell in your soul and what you have lost forever. Fear, anxiety, torment, feeling lost, no love, no joy, no peace, no Jesus forever. That scares me and should scare you, because without Jesus, there is no hope, complete torment. We are born into sin, Scripture tells us, and if we don't accept Christ, we are denying Him. God does not send people to hell. They choose it. They choose not to believe in Him, even though deep down they know it's true. The Holy Spirit will pull on them when they hear the Word of God, but they still deny Him. Your sin and your denial is a willful opposition to God, our Creator, and His love. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you blame God for something in your past. But you must know God loves you and wants to be in your life. He wants to show how much He actually loves you. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus died on that cross for your sins and has risen. Maybe you think you've done too much evil or sin in your life. I deserve hell. I tell you, all can come to Him for forgiveness and release that burden of guilt and have peace, for hell was made for Satan and his demons. Don't accept hell. Accept Christ. Luke 13:22-30. Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as He made His way to Jerusalem. Someone asked Him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." There will be weeping, there will be gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets of the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west, north and south, and would take their places in the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. The worst thing that is in the pit is that there will be no love, no joy, no comfort or peace, as there will be complete separation from Jesus. Imagine a complete emotional torment as you look up to heaven, knowing your loved ones are there, as you scream out their names for help. But you know you will never see them again, knowing they were filled with joy, happiness, love, and comfort and peace because of the glory of God, and you missed it. As you weep and gnash your teeth in an emotional torment, and knowing you blew it big time, thinking, "If only someone would have prayed for me. Or why didn't a friend or family member tell me about the love of Christ? Did they not love me enough? At least to try. So I could be with them in glory. If only they would have shown me kindness. Because the Lord, I would have listened. How is it that they are there in heaven, and not one told me about Christ? If they would invite me one more time to church, I would have gone. I've lived my life on earth as a good person. Why am I here? Or why are they there? Ah, the pain, the torment is pulling me apart. I feel like I die every day with all the fear and the pain and the noise of my soul. The stench is in my nostrils. I am really in hell. Remember, we all were dead in our trespasses. What if there was nobody to tell you about Christ? What if your Christian friend or brother or sister or whoever it was that told you about Christ didn't have the urgency or love for others enough to share the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand? What if they shrank back in their faith and were too worried about what you might think of them, or even fear of losing your friendship? If they said anything about Christ at all, so they stayed quiet and never told you, you would be the one going down the drain into eternal suffering and death. So I beg you, please, tell me about Jesus. If you're truly my friend, please don't give up on me, for Christ did not give up on you. For he has sent you to be the messenger of Christ's salvation of the world. On the day I got home, I was excited. Spent some time with the Holy Spirit in prayer because of the joy I've been having in His presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit were exciting, amazing, and always joyful. As I got to my front door, I felt a heavier pull in my heart than ever before. I felt the Holy Spirit as if he would really needed to talk to me, to spend time with me. As I entered my house and walked down the hallway, I felt saddened, like something was really wrong. When I went into my room and closed the door, I fell on my knees because the pole was so heavy. I cried out, "What's wrong, Holy Spirit? What's wrong?" I knew something was wrong. I could feel His pain. And I heard Him weeping, sobbing, and saying, I wanted to comfort Him as tears ran down my face. I never felt so much sorrow in my life. And all I wanted was to help Him, for I love Him. So I cried out, "Show me, Lord, show me what's wrong." And instantly, I was looking down at a vision. Thousands. Hundreds of thousands of people. And the Lord cried out, "Look, my children, my people," as He wept. As they were being led through a wide gate, a harsh, rocky, molten path, watching them being pushed over a fiery cliff edge, the ones at the edge would scream out as more and more people would drive them off the ledge. Because of the crowd, there was no place to go but down. Hearing the screams and feeling the sorrow was more than I could bear. As I watched so many people die in eternal death, watching them cry out to their loved ones for help, but no one could help them. It was too late. The vision lasted maybe a minute, but it seemed like an eternity. The painful sorrow of the Holy Spirit is enough to stop the world from spinning, let alone the screams of all those people. I asked the Holy Spirit, "What can I do?" He said, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The kingdom of God is at hand. Tell my people." As you can imagine, vision had a profound effect on my life. It was heart-wrenching, but at the same time, it gave me strength to be able to talk about my Jesus to people I never met. I pray for those I just met because I see their faces on the ledge crying out for help. If you have compassion and love for others, then this should urge you to a higher sense of urgency, for the time is near. We pray for and look forward to the return of our Lord Jesus, but in a sense, feel if we could just get one more for His kingdom every day, like Abraham did, humbling himself to dust and ashes, to God to spare Sodom from 50 to 10 in Genesis 18:26 and 33. And take them by the hand, as the angels did for Lot and his wife and daughters to safety. We live in a spiritual realm that is more powerful than the physical realm. God created us in His image and crowned us with His anointing, power, and blessing. This is why Satan hates us. This is what he was trying to steal from God, and God gave it to us as a gift. This is why Satan wants to torment us, to kill us, to share in his punishment and eternal suffering and death. How do we know Satan hates us and that he is even real? One, the Bible tells us so. And did you know that we are the only creatures on earth that purposely kill themselves? No other creature will do this. In fact, they will fight to the end to survive. Satan loves to tell lies to us and tell us there is no hope. We fight against principalities and powers. Satan is the father of lies, half-truths, deceiver, manipulator, false doctrine, tempter, oppressor, murderer, hate, false gods, distractor, anxiety, fear, worry, And when you fall for one of his tricks, he is the ultimate accuser of your sin. He likes to get in your ear or mind and tell lies. There's no hope. You're not good enough. You don't deserve it. He does it until you make him flee in Jesus' name and use the word to combat his lies. Satan is an expert in manipulation, in accusations against yourself to make them seem like they are your own thoughts. Don't believe it. They are not. I heard a pastor once call them low-level devils, whispering in your ear. Don't listen to them. Half the battle is won if you know and recognize these thoughts come from demonic forces and why you are being attacked. And the other half is won by standing on the promises of God. Satan loves to be a thorn in our side, but we have the tools necessary to defeat him because Jesus already has. If Satan can get you to believe in his deceit, he will be able to keep you from being able to use God's anointing power and his blessings and your inheritance. He will keep you from your healing, your abundance, and your closer walk with Jesus. Satan is accuser of all sins. Do you find it hard to forgive yourself? Don't listen to him. It is important to forgive oneself. It is a key to a closer walk with Christ and his anointing. God put your sins behind him to see them no more. He gave you a new garment. So don't be putting your old rags back on. You must let it go. Jesus took it at the cross. Don't let Satan pull you down with remembrance of your sin. Or you don't want Jesus seeing you wearing those dirty rags. It's the same as calling him a liar for what he did at the cross. Because he gave you a new robe to wear. He gave you that new robe. Turn around. You put that dirty rag back on. He turns around and looks back at you and he goes, I cleansed you of that. I don't remember those sins. Why are you wearing that? When you do that, you just still made your walk with Christ and his anointing. No, you see the importance of oneself forgiveness. It is not that hard when you put it in perspective. That was my message for today. Pray. Thank you, Lord Heavenly Father, for giving me this message, Lord, even though it was tough for me. Lord Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, and let that message reach out and touch people, Lord. And that know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That your love abounds no ends. And that how much you love us. Oh, how great thou art. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And let us love you more and more each day and each other. Give you praise, Lord. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.